Welcome to the Business of Behavior podcast, hosted by Dr. Becca Tagg. We support clinicians who have been bitten by the entrepreneurial bug, looking to strengthen their practice to better serve their clients, employees, and themselves.
Hello, and welcome back to this second episode of the Business of Behavior podcast. I appreciate those of you who have decided to join me for this second session, and also those of you who have shown so much support online. It's nice to receive that feedback when you're trying something new. So today, in thinking about what I wanted to talk about, I'm wondering how many of you have heard that famous poem or iterations of that famous poem about all I ever really needed to know I learned in kindergarten. And I think for us, when we're talking about getting back to basics, because I believe that's very important before we start talking about specific strategies to grow our business, we have to get really clear about the basics. We know that things are built upon a foundation, and only when that foundation is strong is what we are building going to be strong as well. So last week we talked a little bit about values, or a lot bit, I guess, about values. And I'm hoping that you are feeling more clear and that you have an idea about where your true north is with respect to business and maybe even life, and that that has been able to help you guide decisions for your business. So I want to start by going through the poem. We're going to go through it kind of line by line and unpack how it fits with business. So it says, most of what I really needed to know about life and what to do and how to be, I learned in kindergarten. Wisdom was not at the top of the graduate mountain, but rather here in the sandbox of nursery school. I also want to be sure to give credit to the author Robert Fulghum for giving us this wonderful piece of information. So the things that he learns, the first thing that's referenced is share everything. I think that's super important, and that isn't just tangibles, right? I mean, that's share our profits. Make sure that things are evenly distributed among all employees. We want to be sure that people are being paid well. We want to share our ideas and resources, much like Ashley and Karen in the ABA Skillshare group. They're encouraging and facilitating the sharing of ideas, which ultimately results in all of us being better because we have access to things that maybe we didn't, or ideas that we didn't have before. And that kind of connects in with sharing information. So there's the information about behavior analysis as a field that we want to share with our employees and our supervisees to help them provide better services and enhance the field as a whole. But I also think it's important to share your vision of your business with your employees as much as is appropriate or possible. Because when they're really clear about your values, because now you're really clear about them, it can help us all be working towards the same thing, and we're all being guided by that true north. Playing fair. And I think that's really key in a lot of ways, because we want to be sure that we're conducting business in a way that we are proud of and that we would be proud to have our family and friends see. Simon Sinek says that people do business the way they do life. And I think that's really key. The way that we are in business is often sort of a magnification or maybe a specific snapshot about how we typically are in the world. And it can be a great sort of teaching tool for us, or a feedback for us about, is this how we want to be? And sometimes it might be helpful to think, if my mom was seeing what I'm doing now, would she approve? And if yes, probably keep moving on. And if not, maybe we want to revisit sort of how we are doing things. Don't hit people. I think this is both literal. We could take this literally and figuratively, right? Because we don't want to hit people. And there are different kinds of hits. As we get older, there's much less physical hitting and more maybe emotional hitting or financial hitting. And we don't want to do that, right? For a variety of reasons. One, it's not kind, but it also is really poor modeling for others of how to do business or how to interact with others. Put things back where you found them. I think that one's pretty self-explanatory. Clean up your own mess. This is big, and this is something I learned really clearly, not only in kindergarten, but from my husband, who has, he's a manager at Home Depot, and he's been with them for 19 years, actually. And a big part of his job is a human resource component. And he really leads by example. And I really admire that about him. He never asks his employees to do anything that he wouldn't do. And when you see a mess, clean it up now. Let's not put our head in the sand and think it'll go away, because that's negatively reinforcing for us to just kind of avoid it, because it isn't going to go away. And you kind of just have to go through and do it. Don't take things that aren't yours. And this is clients, this is ideas, this is everything, employees, this is space, this is being sure that you're doing to others how you want to be done, right? This is the golden rule, and we don't want to be taking things that aren't yours. Say sorry when you've hurt someone, and this isn't just the, oh, sorry about that, right? This is a heartfelt, I'm sorry, I messed up. And there's a, I don't know if it's a meme, if it's not funny, but it's one of those sort of quotes you see on Facebook or Instagram. And it says, if someone says you hurt them, you do not get to decide that you didn't. And I try to keep that in mind with my therapy patients, as well as others, right? So when somebody says that hurt my feelings, just because you didn't intend it to doesn't mean it didn't. As our BFF, BF Skinner says, the rat is never wrong. And so if someone is saying that they are hurt, we have to own that. We have to, we may not have meant to hurt them, but they're telling us that we're hurt. And so we need to respect that. Wash your hands before you eat. In my mind, this speaks to preparation. So when we prepare properly before a meal, we don't get germs or dirt in our food. And so if we and when we prepare for business, we have a much better outcome. We don't get salmonella. We are able to enjoy really positive things that come as a result of being prepared. The next one makes me laugh. It says flush. And again, I think of this as literal and figurative. We, definitely flush. But the figurative piece of that is, let shit go that doesn't work for you. Let it go. Just because you've spent a lot of time making that mistake or creating something that's not a good fit, we don't have to keep it. And the longer we try to make something fit that doesn't, oftentimes the bigger that mess becomes, or the more sort of emotional reaction we have to it. And sometimes just hitting that flusher and letting it go down and letting it go away and starting over fresh can be a really freeing and important experience to have. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. This to me speaks of self-care. Warm cookies and cold milk, that's taking a moment to indulge. And it's important to indulge, particularly as business owners. So much of what we do is aimed at taking care of our employees and our taxes and the clients and their parents and billing and all of everybody else. And so it's important for us to take care of ourselves. As I say on Sundays, you cannot serve from an empty vessel. And that self-care is super, super important. It also models for our employees and our clients and those around us that self-care is important and that we think that we are important. And that shows the type of treatment that we'll take and accept. Live a balanced life. And this, I think, goes back to the values we talked about last week, because balance is not the same for each of us. It's going to look different. So maybe work, family, social, spiritual, civic, whatever the areas are that are important to you, you want to be sure that those are represented, let's say, in like a pie graph in the percentages that are important to you. So for me, I love my pugs, and other people probably don't have a pug slice of the pie, but for me, I do, and that's very important to me. Learn something and draw something and paint and sing and dance and play and work every day a little bit. I think this talks to doing a lot of different things. We want to have reinforcement every day. We want to have work every day. We need to have rest every day. We need to have a little bit of everything every day, which leads nicely into the next line, which says, take a nap every afternoon. Rest. Now, I recognize that many of us cannot take a nap every afternoon, but rest is super important. I was watching a TV show, I don't even remember which one it was, but they were talking about a president, and every afternoon that president took an hour and a half nap. And we know from neuropsychology and neurology that rest periods are when our brain is really not just refreshing itself, but also cementing those neural connections. And our brain continues to work on problems even when we're not actively working on it. And rest is one of those times that happens. And so I think to myself, if a president of the United States can take a nap every afternoon, I'm not solving world peace and you know, making these huge multi-billion dollar decisions. I can take a nap too. And so this past weekend, I passed my final licensing exam that's needed as I moved here from California and had to retake or take some of the North Carolina specific exams. And I took the exam and I felt amazing. And my first thought was, okay, so now I can catch up on work. And then I said, self, you need to catch up on sleep. And I laid down and I slept for 3 hours and it was amazing. It was legit amazing. When you go out into the world, watch for traffic. And I think traffic may be different things for each of us because we each have different traps or things that come our way. So for me, it's my helium hand. They used to call it one of my practicum in my doctoral program. If something needs done, I'll say, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. But then you have a ton of all do it's and there's no time to actually do it. And then you end up not being able to do the line above about taking a rest. And so traffic can also be getting sucked into arguments, or maybe traffic is taking on too many families too quickly, or whatever your sort of trap, again with the air quotes, whatever your traps are, be mindful of them and always be on the lookout for them, because the reason they're traps is because we often give into them or we often subscribe to them and then we're stuck. Hold hands and stick together. I love this one. This to me emphasizes the importance of sticking together and team building. And so, you know, at our clinic, we have monthly team build activities. But I also think of this as us in our online communities holding hands and sticking together and sharing resources and sample contracts and sharing what we've learned. And that's amazing. That makes us all stronger. It's like that Red Rover game when you were little and you hold hands with the person next to, and then, you know, somebody comes over and they try to burst through your hands. And it's much harder to do when you've got a strong grip to the person next to you. And I hope that we are all forming those connections with providers and other entrepreneurs around us so that it's harder to break us because we are all sticking together. Be aware of wonder. And I was thinking about this one, I think the most, as I was initially reading through the poem and kind of thinking about what I wanted to talk about. And I think it's because I wasn't sure how to describe wonder. And so I Googled it, right? And the definition says, a feeling of surprise mingled with admiration caused by something beautiful, unexpected, unfamiliar, or inexplicable. Wow. I mean, that's amazing. I definitely want to be aware of wonder. And when I think about times that I've had that experience, I mean, one of the times was when I got bit by the entrepreneurial bug and I thought, oh my gosh, I can do this, or I'm going to try to do this. Another was this morning I received a great email from a new hire that we have who has been with us a short amount of time and has really, really excelled, really excelled. It's just working with kids is very intuitive for her and it shows. And she sent me this heartfelt email with thank you, and I was surprised, and it was awesome. I think we don't always get that kind of feedback, or maybe sometimes I get bogged down in the business piece and I don't remember that each interaction is actively having an effect on someone else. And so it was really nice. And I'm going to, my challenge for myself over the next 3 weeks before our next podcast is to really look for that and be aware of those moments and then try to kind of bottle them up and keep them for the days that it's harder to find. And then remember the book about Dick and Jane and the very first word you learned, the biggest word of all, look. You think that kind of connects to the idea of wonders, is look around what is happening around us. Be aware of our environment, both, again, literally and figuratively. With our phones, or I can't speak for anyone else. So for me, my phone is always with me and it's always going off with referral calls or insurance calls or employees that need something or our CPA needs something, or I'm getting anxious and worked up and so I want to take a break and look at pug pictures on Instagram, or I'm looking on Pinterest to find more ideas about how to be more efficient, to create materials for the girls, or I'm scanning through the ABA Skillshare group, looking for different, you know, ideas that have been posted. All of that takes me out of the moment. And so I noticed, I guess it was last week, my husband and I were sitting on the couch watching TV, and I was actually looking at my phone, and I thought, Becca, you have a screen on the TV and then you're picking up a second screen, and all of that is continuing to remove me from the experience of connecting with my partner. And so, one, I have a new rule that only one screen will be on at a time. I don't need to have the TV on and be scrolling through my iPad or looking at my phone. And that is, for me, representative of a bigger goal about not always multitasking and doing one thing and doing it well and to completion before moving on. There's a quote that I had learned that old Buddhist monks would say, when we walk, we walk. And when we pray, we pray. And when we're eating, we're eating. And to me, that's really about doing one thing at a time and really being focused on just that one thing. I think I've shared in the group that my dissertation used two different treatments to help reduce burnout and perceived stress in parents and RBTs. And one of them was a mindfulness sort of training and exercises. And it's something I believe very strongly in. And so this idea of look and be present and be not just present, but okay with being present and accepting instead of judgment. Non-judgmental is the word I was looking for. And again, I'm not going to edit out that tip of the tongue phenomenon that just happened, because I think all things are perfectly imperfect and it's important to be okay with that. And that's one of my challenges, is I work to be okay with imperfection. So the last paragraph here of this poem says, think what a better world it would be if we all, the whole world, had cookies and milk about 3 o'clock in the afternoon and then laid down with our blankets for a nap. Or if we had a basic policy in our nations and other nations to always put things back where we found them and clean up our own messes. And it is still true, no matter how old you are, when you go out into the world, it is best to hold hands and stick together. And so I appreciate all of you joining hands with me and sticking together and sharing all of your different experiences and allowing me this new platform to share my thoughts and experiences. I'd love to hear feedback in the ABA Business Builders group about what you might be thinking. Maybe you interpreted some of those lines differently than I, and I'd love to hear that. That's how I can continue to learn. I also wanted to take a moment and remind those who are planning to attend the Business Builders Boot Camp in North Carolina, the 21st of February. That's the day before the NCABA annual conference, and it's being held at the same location. So be sure that if you're interested in attending, that I have your email address. You can post it in the ABA Business Builders group, or you can email me directly at drbecca@delmarbehavioralhealth.com. And I look forward to seeing you guys online. Thanks.